ordinance 24-04.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the future land use map element of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel on its District 135, Map 11, Parcel 65.00, which is a 9.62-acre parcel located and lying within Georgetown 100 and located on the northeast side of Gravel Hill Road, which is Route 30, approximately 0.2 miles east of the intersection of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30, and Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is shown in yellow bounded on the screen. So this is a future land use map amendment, Mr. Chairman, and specifically the requested amendment is to change the area designation from the low density area to the commercial area, which is the bright red shading shown on the map. Submitted into the record for this ordinance, we have a copy of the applicant's request letter to the county. This is one where a member of the public approached us with the request. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, including a request to expedite the application, a copy of the land use history, and a conceptual site plan. I would note that we have received zero comments, and we do not have at this stage is the plus comments from the state. And per our agreement with the State Planning Office, the process as it exists today is that we will bring the application to the Planning and Zoning Commission, conduct the public hearing, create a record, and then following this public hearing, the staff will take it through the PLUS process to the state, and then those comments will be reported to County Council at the next stage in the process. So, thank you.
Great, and the chair recognizes Ms. Peet.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mackenzie Peet. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing LLP, and I'm here on behalf of JNC Investment Properties LLC, who is seeking to amend the future land use map from low density to commercial area to allow for the development of 108 units, with at least 25% of those units being designated as Sussex County Rental Program units on an approximately 9.72-acre site located along Lewis Georgetown Highway, Route 9, in Georgetown, Sussex County, Delaware, identified as tax parcel number 135-11-65. Present with me today are Charles Turner, member of the applicant, and Roger Gross, professional engineer with Mearstone Consultants, Inc. The applicant submitted its application on August 14, 2024, with a request to expedite under Chapter 72 of the county's code, given that the proposal seeks to enter the development into the SCRP. Thank you to the county for agreeing to expedite the review of this request. Along with the application and request for expedited review, a set of exhibits was also filed, which has been available for your review for at least 10 days. This exhibit packet includes a concept plan for the 108-unit development, along with the property information sheet and deed evidencing the applicant as the owner of the property, land use history documentation, including a 1970 notice from Sussex County indicating that the existing Silver Oaks Trailer Park was established on April 6, 1966, along with 1970 approval for the expansion of that original park from 21 to 38 units, and meeting minutes related to prior applications filed by Mr. Turner, which I'll address as part of today's presentation. A copy of the SCRP code requirements, zoning district map, future land use map, and then aerial map. This application, as Director Whitehouse stated, has not been submitted to PLUS yet. The decided plan was to present this application today for the purpose of making a record, and then this will be sent along to review for PLUS with the goal of having comments back before the meeting in May before council. So, as mentioned, the site, as you'll see on the screen, is located near the intersection of Route 9 and Route 30 here. The site's adjacent to lands designated as open space within the Hawthorne community. To the rear, there is a tax ditch prong associated with the Copal Robinson tax ditch, and on the opposite side of the property, the Burns Pet Store property, it's approximately right here, that had been previously approved for a conditional use but then relocated elsewhere on 9. Across the street, there's also some residential homes and one property that had been rezoned to B1 historically, owned by Two Farms, who's an affiliate of Royal Farms, as I think is common knowledge. Nearby residential communities include the multifamily residential development of Weston Willows Apartment Complex, which consists of 287 units on 27 acres, as well as Azalea Woods, Hawthorne, Windsor Reserve, and Deerwood subdivisions, to name a few. The site's also located near existing commercial and industrial uses, with properties undergoing zoning changes and being approved for conditional uses recently, indicating a trend towards commercialization and in some instances, light industrialization along the Route 9 corridor. Notable examples of rezonings include CZ 1828, which rezoned, as I just mentioned, two farms properties from AR1 to B1 on tax parcel number 135-11-78. That's the site across the street. CZ 1902, changing two nearby properties from CR1 to HI1 at tax parcel numbers 135-16-23.05 and 23.06. CZ 1976, changing a nearby property from AR1 to LI1 at tax parcel number 135-11-82. And CZ 1944 for Executive Lawns, transitioning from AR1 to C2 to expand its business at tax parcel number 235-30-6.20, which before being rezoned had also operated a more limited scope of its business as a conditional use. Notable examples of conditional uses approved in vicinity of the site include tax parcel number 135-11-64.00, which is that Burns Pet Store location. Also, the Georgetown Business Plaza, CU2371, and then actually the Toback Flex Park that was just mentioned as well, east of the site. Currently, as I mentioned, the site operates as Silver Oaks Trailer Park, established on April 6, 1966, consisting of 11 mobile home units today. The applicant, as I've stated, ultimately plans to develop the site with 108 units, with at least 25% of those units designated as SCRP units, as detailed in the concept plan. Is there a way to have that concept pulled up? While that's being pulled up, the plan, as you'll see, it includes six three-story buildings, each containing 18 units, as well as a community pool and amenity building. This site is currently zoned AR1. Adjacent properties are also zoned the same. Thank you. Surrounding properties have various zoning classifications, including C1, C2, B1, HI1, LI1, L1, excuse me, MR and CR1, with a predominance of C1, AR1, and B1 zones and industrial zones. These nearby properties are primarily located west of the site, for example, where West and Willow, the Del Dot Yard, and Beshi Furniture are located. Section 115-2217 of the code permits a SCRP townhouse or multifamily development governed by Chapter 72. Which mandates that at least 25% of those dwelling units be designated as SCRP units. The development must occur within the designated future land use areas, including town center, developing area, commercial area, or coastal area. So consequently, the applicant's seeking to redesignate the site from low density to commercial area to align with these requirements. While it's important to note that any project will ultimately need to undergo site plan approval, review, and approval, the concept that was submitted has specifically been designed to comply with the requirements for SCRP units in AR1 as outlined in section 115-2217. The code specifically requires that the site must be located within 2,640 feet of a principal arterial, minor arterial, or major collector road, which is fulfilled as the site situated off 9 and near Route 30. Additionally, development must be served by central water and sewer, which would be provided by Artesian. The proposed density is less than the maximum of 12 units per acre, with the applicant's plan ultimately seeking or hoping to obtain 11.4 units per acre. In terms of setbacks, a 50-foot distance is proposed, as the design incorporates three-story buildings instead of four-story buildings, effectively reducing the required 100-foot setback to half. Sidewalks will be included on at least one side of the street. Interconnectivity is proposed to an adjacent C1 property, and the site's open space will exceed 50%, all of which are requirements of section 115-2217. Mr. Gross prepared an updated site plan that actually reflects what the acreage of the open space is presently with the concept plan, and it's approximately 7.33 acres. I'm going to hand in an updated copy of that. So like the site, adjacent properties are designated as low density. The surrounding area includes designations of low density, commercial, industrial, existing. Do we have, let's see. So you can see what I'm referring to. The surrounding areas include designation of low density, commercial, industrial, existing development and developing area. Most notably, as you'll see on the screen right here, immediately west of the site, properties that front on Route 9, like this one, are predominantly designated as commercial area, further supporting that this request would be consistent with existing and future land use classifications in the immediate area. The site falls within investment level 4 according to the Delaware State Strategies for State Policies and Spending Map. Despite this classification, this section of Route 9 is already developed residentially and commercially, as explained. It's also worth mentioning that Route 9 is experiencing significant commercialization and development, serving as a connector between the eastern and western sides of the county, and is conveniently located near existing developments with readily available utilities. Some commissioners may recall that Mr. Turner previously sought approval for 3 applications at this site, which were ultimately denied. These applications requested an amendment of the future land use from low density to developing area, which was proposed ordinance number 22-8, a rezoning from AR1 to MR, CZ 1959, and conditional use for a 42-unit multifamily development, CU 2320. These applications were presented to the commission on December 8, 2022, and to County Council on January 12, 2023, who deferred their decision for approximately a year and ultimately denied the applications on December 5, 2023. The primary reason for the denial was the lack of support for amending the future land use map to developing area, with Mr. Riley emphasizing the importance of providing affordable housing options like what is proposed with this plan. Unlike the previous application, this request, of course, focuses solely on the future land use map amendment, and as mentioned, any future development will require further review by the county through site plan approval process or otherwise. In relation to the specific request, the applicant is seeking to maintain the existing zoning, AR1, which is considered to be an applicable zoning district in the commercial area according to Table 4.5-2 of the comprehensive plan, while pursuing an amendment of the future land use map from low density to commercial area. This change is crucial not only for the proposed development of SCRP units, but also aligns with the broader goals of the community and the economic landscape, including the provision for more affordable and workforce housing, which is also supported, as we know, by state objectives. While properties immediately adjacent to the site are designated as both low density, nearby properties are designated as commercial area, underscoring the compatibility of this request with existing land use patterns. The proposed development is also consistent with the objectives established in the county's comprehensive plan, particularly regarding the commercial area and vision for Route 9. Specifically, Section 4-17 of the plan describes the commercial areas as follows. Quote, commercial areas include concentrations of retail and services that are mainly located along arterials and highways, as opposed to small traditional downtown areas that are often historic and pedestrian friendly. Commercial areas include commercial corridors, shopping centers, and other medium and large commercial vicinities geared towards vehicular traffic. In addition to primary shopping destinations, this area would also be an appropriate place to locate hotels, motels, car washes, auto dealerships, and other medium and large scale commercial uses not primarily targeted to the residents of immediately adjacent residential areas. These more intense uses should be located along main roads or near major intersections. Institutional and commercial uses may be appropriate depending on the surrounding uses. Mixed-use buildings may also be appropriate for these areas, end quote. Changing the property's designation to commercial area is essential to support the proposed development, which will provide critical housing options for local residents while also aligning with state goals for affordable housing. Moreover, Chapter 13.3.4 of the plan also articulates the vision for Route 9 as a business corridor that integrates residential and commercial uses, ensuring local residents have convenient access to necessary services. The proposed development will play a significant role in realizing this vision by fostering residential growth in an area that can stimulate and support economic activity and support existing and future local businesses along Route 9. Furthermore, if ultimately developed, the community will offer a more affordable housing option for individuals who may find it challenging, for example, to afford homes on the eastern side of the county despite working on the eastern side of the county. Notably, even the non-SCRP units would contribute to the diversity of housing options along Route 9, moving beyond single-family detached homes that typically demand, as we know, higher prices, and including multifamily and apartment-style units that are more accessible and affordable for Sussex County residents. In summary, the requested amendment from low-density to commercial area is not only vital for the successful implementation of the proposed development, but also aligns with the strategic goals of the county's long-term vision for Route 9, as more fully set forth in the comprehensive plan, and state initiatives for affordable housing. The applicant respectfully requests your support in advancing this amendment, which will ultimately benefit both residents and businesses in the area. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions on it, if you don't mind, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
Just a couple. You answered most of what I was curious about. I know it's a change for the in the comprehensive plan, but I'm curious. This would be in the Indian River School District? It's a Georgetown residence, is that correct?
I think that is correct.
Okay. It is going to be right for on. Affordable housing, low-income housing. Is there public transportation that's already provided to this site? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thanks.
No questions, sir.
Collins.
So I'm guessing the configuration of the site only allows for one entrance.
Well, I would just keep in mind that what we're focused on this afternoon is the future. But it's a fair question because it would come back. But
yes.
And I suppose that's also relevant as to whether it gets upgraded from low density to commercial area too. But yeah, just want to make sure everybody's aware that we're only acting on an amendment to the future land use map.
Presently, only one entrance has been explored.
Okay. I don't think I have any other questions right now.
Butler?
No questions, sir.
Okay. Robertson, I have a question for you. If this is granted, what would prevent the applicant from selling the property to somebody else and them coming back with something completely different than what's been offered?
So the short answer is nothing. But a little bit more nuanced response would be that changing the future land use map to the commercial area does not change the underlying zoning, which remains AR1. So under AR1, you can either do the SCRP if you qualify for that and you do the required percentage of affordable units, or you can get 2 units an acre like you can anywhere else in the county. So that really doesn't change, the ultimate use. For something different to happen, they would still have to come back to you all for a conditional use or a change in zone. So you all and county council will still be gatekeepers should it be sold and should they decide to do something completely different.
Okay, so I'm trying to get to this idea that the change in the comprehensive plan is being linked to this plan right here today for this public hearing. This is what we're being shown, okay? And if we would approve this comprehensive plan change, my concern is that it becomes a de facto approval of what we were presented today. That's my concern.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case because they still have to come back in for site plan review.
The point is, if 42 units were too much, what's 108? Yeah. I mean, really. And I think that nothing has really changed and as far as the site goes. I mean, the distance to the intersection hasn't changed. Yeah. And that's my concern with it.
Well, I'm just going to play devil's advocate. The difference would be it's 42 units with the change to MR.
Yeah.
So back to your point, once you make the change to MR, that's a more significant change than changing the future land use map because you've actually rezoned it. Plus, you're not getting any affordable units at all.
I get that, 100%.
So I mean, that none of those is like the right answer, so to speak. It's just all factors that go into the equation.
And I'm not suggesting at this point that I'm in favor or opposed. I'm simply trying to ask all the questions that I know some of these folks out here are thinking as well, so.
And just, you know, again, for the commission's benefit, but also the public's, this is a multi-step process. So it goes here, and as Mr. Whitehouse and I think Ms. Pete mentioned as well, it's still got to go through the Office of State Planning Coordination, and they're going to take a look at it. Candidly, it's going to be in flux because it's in level four, and Office of State Planning Coordination, as we know, doesn't like changing things at level four. At the same time, as we know from that joint workshop we had, they're going through a complete review of the state strategy, so that might change as well, you know. And then, well, either way, it's got to come back to Sussex County Council for action on the future land use map amendment as an ordinance. And then, after they do all the site plan work, it would have to come to you all to make sure it complies with all those standards, so, yeah.
It's a long and winding road.
And those are all great questions, but would they really be able to come back with something different since we gave them priority for bumping up into the...
That doesn't have anything to do with the outcome, so.
And that's kind of the point I wanted
That's not really
to
right, then.
In this discussion,
yeah,
is that anything can happen,
yeah,
okay? So...
Well, keep in mind, you know, with the SCRP program, historically, that's always been something that's been expedited, you know, because I think, and without looking at it, I don't remember if it stayed in the code changes, but there was even codified at one point, expeditious treatment, if that's a word, so, yeah.
You're not questioning the integrity of the applicant or counsel for the applicant, but, you know, I think it's a really good point. This has been used to help expedite it. You could certainly flip the property if you get a favorable decision on this from us and from council, and then they can do anything they want. And this plan.
But that's not entirely true, because we have to come back to you
true.
All for a site plan review, as Mr. Robertson stated, and or of rezoning, whatever it may be, we have to come back here. And so I appreciate the point. I anticipated the question, and I couldn't have said it any better than Mr. Robertson said, but ultimately we would have to come back. The applicant, anybody would have to come back and get site plan approval and or further approvals.
It's really a question about could there be a change to ordinance to allow conditions, like if this was used to expedite.
Well, there's always going to be that. I mean, and there's an infinite number of permutations to this, because if it had been mapped correctly, it would have gotten expedited treatment and the site plan would have come right through, you know, for example. You know, I can spin it the other way. If they get the map amendment, although they still have to come back in for a change in zone and a conditional use for, you know, something with a higher density than just the base AR, they would be able to say, well, look, our map was amended to commercial, you know, and use that as justification for the rezoning. So, we can look at this all different ways, you know, and I don't know that the ultimate thing is whether it's appropriate or not to have a commercial area here in that location.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
And that's really
yeah.
the question, commissioners.
Yeah.
It's really
but still,
not about,
I feel like
it's not about this plan here. It's about whether or not it's almost like a zoning change.
Yeah. You know? I understand that, but I feel like if we're giving them expedited treatment, then they should be locked into having that component and what they're proposing, and they are required to do ultimately if it gets approved, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, and not to belabor the issues, we can't lock them into it because we can't say that until we get the future land use map amendment, which requires the state to sign off on that. It's a chicken and egg,
yeah,
and zebra and hippopotamus and banana all wrapped together. I don't know. It's like all these different things that come together.
Okay, all right. Glad I could clear things up for you. Mr. Whitehouse, do you have any questions?
Not for me, thank you.
Staff, anything? Okay, Mr. Robertson, you can have the last word.
I've said enough.
Okay. All right, then, Ms. Pete, if
thank
you'll
you.
Take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of Ordinance 24-04? In favor. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to Ordinance 24-04? Yes, ma'am. Come on up. If you give us your name, you may have the floor.
I was planning on coming to speak. I'm not a good speaker, but my name is Diane Spinagle. I own a third in the pet shop, the Burns Pet Shop. And I have always been in the whoever's land, you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
But we take care of the property there and a couple of properties across the street that I own. And we go, you know, to maintenance, the lawn and the houses and stuff. And that traffic is crazy. I grew up there, ride my pony up Route 9. I mean, you know, forever. There was no traffic. Now, I'm like, I live in Harrington now, and that traffic is crazy. And if you put 108 more people coming in and out of there twice a day, I can't imagine it. I can't. We try to ride our lawnmower across from one street, you know, to the street from one side to the other side. And it is like, you sit there and wait forever. Sometimes somebody kind will stop so you can go by. But taking vehicles out on that road is crazy. So I don't know. I don't know how they would do 108 more houses. That's my concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Anyone else to speak in opposition? Okay. There being none others, any questions on the commission's or comments? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the